This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you are listening to Earth Matters. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Bears are listed as a totally protected species under Malaysia's Wildlife Conservation Act 2010, but a new study by Traffic Southeast Asia, the Wildlife Trade Monitoring Network, has found that the illegal trade in bear bile and gallbladder for traditional medicine is open and widespread across Malaysia. I catch up now with Dr. Chris R. Shepherd, the Regional Director for Traffic Southeast Asia, who will walk me through the findings of the study, Heart to Bear, an assessment of trade in bear bile and gallbladder in Malaysia. So how bad is it, I guess, is the first question.
Well, a few years ago, we did a study across 13 different countries and territories in Asia to assess the open availability of bear parts and the scale of the illegal trade. And we found that in Southeast Asia, Malaysia ranked in the top three, in the top five Asia-wide, which was surprising. We didn't think it was going to be such a serious concern here. So we zoomed in and we did this recent study focusing just on Malaysia, and we found bear parts for sale in every single state, both processed parts in the forms of medicine and raw parts like gallbladders from bears either killed locally or imported.
Prior to that study, why did Malaysia pass under the radar, so to speak? You know, why was it not somewhere that was on your list of, okay, this is a country that we really need to be focusing on?
Well, I guess we just hadn't really looked yet. We've been looking at the trade in numerous other species, and for other species, we did know Malaysia's a concern looking at bird trade or tortoise trade, but we really hadn't examined the bear part trade yet.
How rampant is the use of bear parts in traditional Chinese medicine in other countries around Asia?
Well, it's very widespread. We found the trade in all the countries we looked in. The only problem really is here it's just much more. Apart from here, Vietnam, it was very widespread there. There's bear farms in Vietnam and in Laos and Myanmar. Malaysia doesn't have bear farms, but we do have bears living in the wild here, and they're being targeted. And we also have a problem of bear parts being processed into traditional medicines outside of Malaysia and being smuggled in for sale here.
So, in other words, we kind of have unfortunately, a thriving trade then, in that we are both selling bear parts externally as well as importing them back in their processed form. Is that what's happening?
Right, that's happening. But also, bears are being killed locally and processed here for use here.
So, while we're talking about what they're being processed for, could you give me a brief history lesson on the medicinal use of bear bile and gallbladders? Why are people bothering? What are its supposed benefits?
Well, there's a number of different ailments that bear bile is said to be an effective treatment for: internal bruising, internal bleeding, all different problems. And the actual practice of farming bears came about in Korea and was spread into China and Vietnam and other countries after that. And the spread of those farms really promoted, if you want, the use. It really increased and encouraged people to be using it. There's more than 50 herbal alternatives, legal alternatives, that are as effective or more effective. And there's also synthetic alternatives. So the challenge really is, while you might believe that it helps you with whatever ailment you're taking bear bile for, there's legal alternatives. There's alternatives where bears don't have to be killed.
Is there a reason you think that it's continued to be such a prevailing top-of-mind thing, where when you have these ailments, you immediately think, okay, bear bile, as opposed to seeking out these other legal alternatives that I presume, you know, would not just be relatively guilt-free, but also just as easy to find?
I guess one of the problems there is a lot of people aren't aware that it's illegal to use bear bile and that bears are in trouble. I think some people might not even be aware that the medications they're taking contains bear bile. Part of the problem is people are still prescribing bear bile. Doctors, practitioners are still recommending bear bile to people. So you with your ailments go there, and if it's recommended to you, we very rarely question what the doctor tells us, right? So I think part of the problem is it's still being recommended.
You mentioned that some people might not know that what they're taking contains bear bile. And from the study, one thing that was mentioned was that more often than not, there's Well, I guess tricky labeling, quote unquote, in terms of what these things actually contain. Is that a part of it where people are purposefully vague about the contents of the medication in order to be able to sell it?
I don't think they're doing that in order to be able to sell it. I think they're doing that in order to be able to smuggle it into Malaysia and retail it. I don't think they're trying to dupe the consumer. I think they're just trying to dupe the authorities.
From the authorities' point of view, then, is how do you kind of contain that if you're not sure what, if you're not exactly sure of the contents of what's coming in?
Well, Malaysia's got good legislation in place to regulate this sort of trade. There just needs to be a little more scrutiny at the medicines coming into Malaysia, maybe more frequent and more vigilance when monitoring the retail outlets. And I really think there's a real need for the Wildlife Department and the authorities from the Ministry of Health to be working together on this and to come at it from both angles, looking at the practitioners and also looking at the smuggling activities.
I read in the study that one shopkeeper in Johor told an undercover traffic staff that he could hire people to hunt a bear immediately for its gallbladder and forepaws upon a payment of 3,000 ringgit. What sort of prices do these medicinal products using bear parts fetch in turn?
Well, far less. One gallbladder is used for, it can be used in a lot of different pills. It's sold in pills or in vials. But that's sort of indicative of the prices that is being put on a bear's head right now, which is sad because that's not very much, and bears in Malaysia are quite rare.
That is, it's true. That's really not much at all. I mean, 3,000 ringgit to be able to kind of summon a bear is really not much. And part of this is traditional Chinese medicine. You know, that's when we talk about prescriptions, when we talk about practitioners, I guess that's the kind of thing we're talking about. And is traditional Chinese medicine recognized at the moment by our Ministry of Health?
Yeah, there's a federation in Malaysia, and we've met with them on the findings of this report and are really encouraged by their response. We want to work together with not only the Ministry of Health and the Chinese Medicine Federation, but if we can get everyone working together, operating on this on the same front, that this the trade is illegal and has to be shut down, and with the federation actually encouraging their own members not to do trade, then we're, you know, things are going to look good then.
Which bears are the victims of this trade, and where are they sourcing the bears from?
So the most common species used in traditional medicine is the Asiatic black bear, which isn't native to Malaysia. It's further north in Southeast Asia and into southern China and over to India. Here we have the sun bear, and it's sort of a secondary species in the medicine trade. But because it is what we have here, that is what's being poached.
What is the current status and distribution of bears in the wild here in Malaysia?
That's a very good question, and I don't think anyone knows the answer to that. Generally, across the sun bears range, populations are in decline. We do know that there's the forests here are full of snares. There's a lot of snaring activity going, and bears are victim to that from both opportunistic hunters and targeted poaching. So it's safe to say they're in decline. A number of countries have lost most of their bears, and it would be foolish to think that they're not in trouble here.
Are they protected at this point in time?
They are protected. They're totally protected in Peninsula Malaysia and Sabah. In Sarawak, they don't enjoy full protection, but we're working with the authorities there on that.
Could you perhaps explain to us what that protection entails? So when we say, you know, they're fully protected or not quite fully protected, what does that mean in absolute terms?
There's no way you can hunt a bear in Peninsula Malaysia or be in possession of any parts or live bear, whereas some species you can get a permit for to hunt or to own.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Chris R. Shepherd, Regional Director from Traffic Southeast Asia. We are discussing a recently released study, Heart to Bear, an assessment of trade in bear bile and gallbladder in Malaysia. Up next, we find out who the actors are along this trade chain. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Dr. Chris R. Shepherd, Regional Director of Traffic Southeast Asia. We're discussing a recently released study, Heart to Bear, an assessment of trade in bear bile and gallbladder in Malaysia. And One part of the report stated that many traders revealed, as we talked about earlier, that gallbladders were sourced locally for trade. What impact does this have on our wild bear population, especially when we have people, you know, putting a price of 3,000 ringgit and saying they can get a bear?
Well, it's clearly going to lead to a decline in bears. As long as there's a demand, people are going to try to get these bears. Very often they're getting away with it. You know, with the availability so widespread in the country, it does show that most people are getting away with the hunting and selling of bears. So that's clearly going to have a negative impact on the wild populations.
Are there any states that see a particular spike in products sold or produced here in our country?
Yeah, for the raw gallbladders from bears killed locally, most of them were in Sarawak and Sabah. And then in KL and Johor. The trade of the products was generally in the states with the largest urban centers, KL, Penang, Johor.
Is this an old trade at this point? You know, is this something that's been going on for years? Does it have well-established routes and paths and people involved?
Yes, it is. But like much of the wildlife trade, it's increased with increasing profits, with better organized criminal networks moving the wildlife products, and with a lot more buying power. People have a lot more disposable income to buy wildlife products now than they used to. So it's an old trade, but it's probably greater now than it's ever been.
Who are the actors along the trade chain of bear parts for medicine that we need to be considering when we're looking at trying to halt it or understand it?
Well, I think we have to look at every link on that in that chain, starting from the hunters or the people out setting snares, which are often from Malaysia, but sometimes from neighboring countries, Cambodia, Vietnam, and other places, where they're in our forest here in Malaysia setting snares and hunting bears. These people generally sell to agents or middlemen, if you want, that visit rural communities and buy products such as bear bile or bear gallbladders and bear paws, pangolins, turtles, whatever else they have for sale. Once it's with the middlemen, it generally moves to retailers or people that are moving it, smuggling across the borders into other countries.
Which part of that link in the chain is easiest to disrupt, or do they all present their own challenges?
Well, each one has its own challenges, definitely. You know, we do have to make sure that the forests here are free of hunters and free of snares. But going after the middlemen and the real brains behind the operations, if you want to call it that, it makes the most sense. The enforcement agencies really need to be researching these trade chains and identifying the kingpins and removing them for the greatest impact.
There are bear farms in other parts of Asia, you mentioned earlier. Are there any known captive bear breeding facilities in Malaysia at the moment?
No, there's not. And in fact, these bear farms in other parts of Southeast Asia aren't breeding the bears. They rely on wild-caught bears. The bears are put in tiny cages and the bile's taken out of them. But they're not breeding. They rely on, as those bears die off, they're illegally capturing more wild bears to replace them.
And we don't have that same setup here at all?
As far as we know, there's no...
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. As far as we know, there's no none of these bear bile farms or bear extraction facilities in Malaysia.
China's been quoted as the main source of about 60% of imported bear gallbladders into Malaysia. Is this a legal practice?
No, it's illegal. So the bear products are not permitted to be moved internationally. There's no international trade allowed in the Asian bear products. So any of the bear bile for sale in Malaysia, regardless of the quantity, is illegal. It's been smuggled in.
What kind of work needs to be done in order to ascertain numbers like this where you can say China's responsible for this amount? You know, how do you, with it being illicit by nature, how do you get those numbers? How do you find these things out, I suppose? You know, what's the groundwork involved in coming up with a study like this?
Well, interestingly and sadly, most of the bear products we saw in this study were openly displayed, regardless of being illegal. So it was just a matter of counting products and looking at the ingredients and the packaging on the medicines for sale with bear parts. The fact that it's so widely available and openly available speaks volumes about the enforcement levels. We really need to have a lot more enforcement effort to close it down and hopefully make studies like this in the future much more difficult.
On that note, the report did mention that staff in more than half of the shops surveyed admitted to knowing that trade in bear parts and products is illegal. So there's just, was there no fear? Was there no sense of, okay, you know, I need to be a bit more mindful or careful of this?
You know, it's hard to say. There are some good enforcement activities taking place in Malaysia, but the fact that they were all aware and yet didn't seem to care makes you wonder. There needs to be more effort into shutting all of these places down. I think Malaysia now has some of the toughest laws in Asia when it comes to wildlife crime, and I think these laws really need to be put into effect when it comes to the bear trade.
What would enforcement look like if it were carried out to the T? You know, what would these people actually be looking at in terms of punishment or in terms of prosecution?
Well, there's a monetary penalty and a jail sentence for possessing or trade or even purchasing parts even if it's claiming to contain bear baw. Malaysia's law doesn't allow for products to advertise that it's got illegal wildlife in it. So even if the product says contains bear baw, it doesn't matter actually if it does or doesn't. It's illegal and they can be prosecuted.
When we're talking about bear farms, as you mentioned earlier, it's not about breeding, it's sometimes just bear bile collection. And the report also mentioned that some retailers downplayed the impact and severity of the trade on the premise that bears are not always killed in the process of bile collection. Is that a fair description of what's happening, though?
Well, you know, the bears in these bear farms probably wish they were just killed. They're horrific places. They're in very cramped small cages individually. In many cases, they can't even stand up. They can't turn around, and they've got a tube inserted into their gallbladder, and the bile is milked out from there. So sure, you could say that the bear's not killed, but it's been taken from the wild. It's removed from the wild population, and it's, you know, from a welfare point of view, it's horrendous, the conditions they're kept in.
What's the kind of life expectancy that a bear in those sorts of conditions would be looking at? I mean, how vastly reduced would it be? Because I imagine it would.
Yeah, it does. Unfortunately, bears are tough. They're a pretty robust animal, and they can live, some of them live for over a decade in these conditions. There's been records of bears kept in what's called a full metal jacket, where it's kept in a metal brace so it can't move at all, living for more than 5 years without moving.
Moving on to enforcement. The report mentioned that insufficient scrutiny resulted in the Ministry of Health unwittingly approving some products containing bear derivatives. What does this mean? You know, how did that happen?
Well, I guess they weren't looking for the right keywords on the packaging, and perhaps not aware that the scale of the bear trade in Malaysia was as large as it is. We've met with the Ministry of Health since, and they have increased their scrutiny, and we hope to see some really positive results soon.
How could the different ministries really get coordinated and start to bear down on this? You know, what would that entail? What would that look like?
That's the ultimate goal, really, is that the various authorities come together and start carrying out investigations into how this whole trade works. How is it coming into the country? So work with customs. How is it being sold through the medicinal outlets? So working with the Ministry of Health and increasing enforcement levels. So working with police and Perhelitan and the enforcement agencies in Sabah and Sarawak. I firmly believe that such a coordinated approach is really the only way that we're going to see a real significant decline in this trade.
What about awareness on the part of the consumer? Is that an important thing to be getting out, or do you think that it's more important to kind of stop it at its source than to stop? Is it more important, I guess, than to stop supply as opposed to stopping demand?
No, I think you have to do both. The consumers have to be made aware that using bear bile is causing a decline in bear populations, and it's supporting these bear farms, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we really encourage consumers, plus it's illegal and you're facing penalties, but we really want consumers to start choosing, A, alternatives, B, don't frequent shops that sell bear bile. Don't buy anything from these shops, and make it known that you don't approve. And we encourage the public as well, if they see bear bile for sale to report it, whether it's to the police or Perhelitan or Sabah Wildlife Department.
Traditional Chinese medicine is a strong part of Chinese culture and lifestyle. It's passed down through the generations. How do you hope to get that message out about balancing the needs of the bears, of, you know, cancelling out this illegal trade while also respecting a community's cultural beliefs? Is there a middle ground to be had, or do we just have to say, look, this isn't working?
I think in the case of threatened species, we have to say enough is enough. We can't continue to allow species to be traded for if they're already seriously threatened, whether it's for medicine or luxury goods or anything. Once the species are in decline, we have to work together and stop it.
Based on the study, finally, what recommendations, what message would you like to leave us with, you know, in terms of how to address the large-scale illegal trade in bear parts and bear products across Malaysia?
Well, I think the public in general needs to be made aware that this is going on right here in Malaysia, and should get involved. Stop using bear bile parts. Start learning more about the issues yourself, and start teaching others around you that, you know, our bears are in trouble and this is why. And we should really be encouraging and supporting the authorities to go out there and start cracking down on people that insist on, you know, continually breaking the law and selling bear parts.
And if someone wanted to get more information or get more involved in this, in the whole aspect of communicating, you know, their desire to not participate in this trade, is there a website they can go to, or...?
Traffic.org. All of our reports on bear trade are there. If you want to learn more about the trade and on the impact trade is having on wild bears, there's the IUCN Bear Specialist Group also has a website where you can learn a lot more about population statistics of bears in the wild especially. And there's a number of organizations in Malaysia that you can join, like the Malaysia Nature Society, for example, where you can get involved in things like habitat protection and general awareness-raising activities.
Thank you very much for your time. I've been speaking with Dr. Chris R. Shepherd, Regional Director of Traffic Southeast Asia, and we've been going through a recently published study, Hard to Bear, an assessment of trade in bear bile and gallbladder in Malaysia. You've been listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.